in an never-ending string of podcast interviews. I once again have an interview that was conducted recently at the studio of my other program, the Catskills Cafe, in WIOX Community Radio. And this is a discussion with Efrat about her new album, We Just Need Love. And so I'm going to start it off with that title track, and then we'll be speaking with Efrat. I'm Artie Martello, and welcome to Mostly Folk.
I will stand by you and will see this through. Everything we do is for all of you, all of us, everyone. When you hold yourself up to the mighty ones and you don't back down, our voices, all of you, all of us, everyone, we just need of our future, of everyone. No, we can't back down. We must keep gaining ground. Can't give in to hate, lest it be too late for all of us, everyone. We just need
just need love.
And there you have it, Efrat with We Just Need Love. And this is from her new album of the same name. That was the title track. And I am more than thrilled to have Efrat on the program today. Now, are you using just the single name, or are you using both first and last name?
I felt, when I started out on the music circuit, I felt like with a name like Efrat, at least in America, I didn't really need to have a last name.
It is.
And I felt like it was confusing enough as it was. I even thought about changing, you know, my name.
No, it's not. Oh, maybe I misunderstood. It's not confusing to me. I think it's a great name.
And oh, well, thank you.
Just the single name. There's nothing wrong with that. You've got Madonna. Now, what's her last name? Would it be as effective?
Ciccone, I think, right?
Yeah. So would it be as effective if it were if she used her last name? So I like the single name Efrat, and I would just stick with it. And even though you do use Shapira,
simply because that's just what I realized. There's a lot of people who know me as Efrat Shapira, and so I felt like I needed to add that in at least for search purposes.
Okay, all right. As you transition in life, as more people know who you are, you can just drop the Shapira and go with just Efrat, because you certainly have all of the qualifications for folks to recognize you, and it's recognizable. It's just the name Efrat is recognizable to me more than Efrat Ariel Shapira.
And so, easier to remember for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about you. I know we've talked before, but this is a new album. It's a really fine album. And goodness gracious, I didn't even know you had my name on the one sheet. But as I was going through, when I got the album and I looked at it, I said, oh my gosh, I'm Catskills Cafe, WIOX 91.3.
Well, with a quote like that, I was tickled pink to get that, to have you say that to me upon hearing just the first few tracks. Who wouldn't be? We want people to really connect with our music. That makes us feel good about what we do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's always a great feeling when you were the first one to say something like that.
Really? Oh, cool. I'm so happy to hear that. So this new album, the title track that we just played, you say it's a labor of love and it was inspired by the strife that we all have experienced during the last few years and by your own personal experience of becoming a mother to a heart warrior. Tell me about that heart warrior.
In June 2018, we found out that there was something going on, loss of consciousness issues. So we were sent to an emergency room and they found something. It's a pretty rare disorder. They didn't know what to do with it and sent us to a pediatric cardiologist who sent us to a specialist at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. At which point, within a month, we knew that he was being checked to see if he had something called Brugada syndrome, which is basically where there are electrical misfirings in the heart, and it can cause cardiac arrest in otherwise totally healthy people. And they actually believe, they don't know this yet, it was only discovered in 97, so it's a very new known about. It may be around for longer than that, but it's only been known about since 1997, so they're still discovering a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they think that it may be responsible for up to 40% of SIDS and SAD deaths when everything else is structurally correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so while it affects, I think it's 1 in 10,000, it can be up to 40% of these unexplained deaths that babies and other people have. So it's a sort of a big deal.
Gosh.
Something I wanted to hear about, to find out that my child had.
Yeah.
But we've been so extremely lucky. CHOP's amazing. Dr. Shaw in the cardiac unit is amazing. Everybody there is amazing. She's his specialist. And I felt from moment one that he was under the best care that we could have, which is a very important feeling when you're dealing with something like this. And they had him implanted with a monitor within a month of the first episode. And then there was a year and a half of discovery, because the test for it is quite invasive, so they do not test kids for it. they won't test somebody for it until they're like 15 or 16, depending on the doctor. Because, like, I had to get tested, and they do the test literally in a heart surgery room, because if you have it and you have a reaction, you can go into cardiac arrest.
Oh,
right
my
there.
Gosh.
And, yeah, I don't have it. Yeah, I can't help but laugh because of relieved tension.
Yeah.
But when I wasn't able to get tested until after COVID, because he wasn't officially diagnosed. We started the diagnosis process June of 2018, but he wasn't officially diagnosed until late December, like really the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. In the beginning of 2020, we noticed at an appointment with a specialist that he had the pattern, because it doesn't show up all the time, this abnormal EKG pattern, which has something called a saddleback T wave. But we noticed that it was there and he didn't have any fevers. So at that point, we were told to decide if we want to give him an SICD or not. I said after, it wasn't a really hard decision for me. It is in the sense that any surgery is a risk. But at the same time, I hadn't slept in a year and a half mm-hmm. because I was terrified to wake up and find my child not waking up.
Yeah.
Because that can happen with this disorder. And about 40% of the time when they have cardiac arrest is in their sleep. And without something in there, it's terrifying. And he may never have one, but he could have a whole bunch. And they don't know enough about this disorder yet.
You must live every day with your heart in your mouth. I know there's a great comfort knowing that he has fantastic care, but even at that, it's a scary situation. How old is he now?
He's 10.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, he'll be actually 11 next week.
Wow, congratulations. That's so super. Yeah, you've done all the right things, it sounds. And so in light of all of this, you went into the studio. You went in after, or had you planned on recording before?
I actually had a different album in mind. And
okay.
The two songs that were going to be on it that are on this are We Just Need Love and Fade Away. The other songs that were originally going to be on this original album are going to be on the next album, and I ended up adding different ones because it turned into a different project.
Okay.
When I went in, it was the end of April, it was like the last day of April of 2018. I was supposed to go back in mid-June, and then kiddo had an episode and our whole process started. So everything went on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really come back to it until the pandemic, because that's after. So he got his SICD on March 19th of 2020. We were the last people in the cardiac unit before they stopped elective surgeries. Yeah.
How lucky was that? My goodness.
Lucky and very intense. It was an intense way to start the pandemic. But at the same time, and his recovery from surgery was not the easiest, but he did. And I think 6 weeks afterwards, 2 months after that, was I finally started sleeping. So I was like, okay, maybe I can get back to life other than what I absolutely have to do, which is what was happening before then, because it's just,
wow.
That was first.
Wow, that's quite a story and quite a journey for you, I'm sure. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the way it ties into, I met a lot of people. There's two moms in particular that I met through this. And I'm a part of a bunch of different support groups. So I'm much more aware of what a lot of people are dealing with out there.
Mm.
And it's more than we realize. And I think that a lot of the issues we're going through right now with people not wanting to wear masks, because they really don't get what other people are going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we could make it more public and explain, if these people could just understand what they could be going through, it's just chance that we're the ones going through it and not them, then they might see their effect. And I don't know, I think it's all about sharing our stories and making sure people
it
understand
is. It definitely is. Every time I see a story on the news of someone who had COVID, who had refused to get the vaccine and is now telling everybody, get the vaccine. It makes you wonder why aren't enough people, you know, how this message isn't getting out to enough people to make them understand that this vaccine is for us. It's, I think, even George Bush yesterday stated that the 9/11 happening brought everybody together, and this pandemic should be doing the same thing, not separating people. My goodness, how dumb can you be?
Do you know what I realized yesterday? Just because you happen to mention 9/11 and how it brings people together. This goes back, what I'm going to say right now, I had to interrupt you because, sorry, mm-hmm. I apologize, but I had to because it goes back to sharing our stories. My kid is really into history and for some reason disaster, so he wanted to go yesterday and see the memorial lights. So we went to Liberty State Park and masked, of course, staying away from people, and to take lights. And there was a lot of things I discovered because we went there. I just happened to have my mind oriented. Do you know that there have been we lost almost 3,000 people that did. We've lost almost 5,000 since then because of 9/11.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is an amazing statistic.
Yeah, over 250 people a year are dying from health-related issues. The World Trade Health Commission is helping them and also keeping tabs. So that's how it's known. There's almost 5,000 people now who have died from lung cancer, all these. That's the number one that they're getting. People who never smoked, who never were in areas to have anything like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we all need to remember because we've forgotten about it. We did come together then, but we forget too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the message of many programs that were broadcast yesterday, that, you know, we should never forget that it's important enough for us to remember. There's only days of infamy, as they say, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, and someone said that January 6th is the third one. And it's true that all three of those were. So, of course, 9/11 was, I don't know how many people were lost in the Pearl Harbor attack, but in our time, certainly 9/11 was the most significant of all of them as far as people dying and just the viciousness of the act and how anybody could think of doing such a thing. Let's get back to your new album. It's called We Just Need Love, and most certainly it's what we need right now. Yeah, and you've been called the quintessential fiddler in a magazine, Fiddler on the Row, on the Roof?
Yeah, it was in Crossville Chronicle.
Okay.
That was the review. Was it, or Knoxville News Sentinel, when I was doing I was with the Cumberland County Playhouse, and I was the fiddler in their Fiddler on the Roof production. So
that is so great. And John Platt, fellow DJ, called you the consummate musician. And I would say that's quite an honor. And you are just an amazing musician. And I think this new album really highlights your voice even more than anything else. So why don't we play another track from the album? You did a cover of Which Side Are You On? And why don't we give that a spin and we'll talk about it.
All right. Okay. Great. Thank you.
So here's a frat with Which Side Are You On?
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Common man, and around the world we sing it whenever we need a plan. Which side are you on? 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 He sang it for the unions, he wrote it for them all, 'cause Seeger knew that everyone deserved to stand up tall. Your country burn.
Which side?
Frat with Which Side Are You On, with a cover. It was a cover. I have to be honest with you, I never realized that. I thought that song was written by Pete Seeger, and it wasn't until I looked at your notes on your one sheet that it was written by Florence Reese. Talk about that.
Well, Pete Seeger made it famous.
Yeah,
when Florence Reese wrote it, the radio was just coming out, so music wasn't as spread, and we don't have as much of the music of that those days because they had just started recording and radio broadcasting in the 1920s. Before that, we really don't have any recordings of anything before that for that reason. And so she was I think 12 or 13 at the time when she wrote this song.
Wow.
Her father was a miner in the labor union. And so if you can look up the original verses, and those are what she wrote. And Pete Seeger, I believe he covered it in an album with her words, but she even mentions the name of the company, which I can't remember right now. I've sung it with the original words before, but it's been such a while that I only have my words in my head now for the verses. But I believe he covered it in an album or maybe on his TV show. There is a recording of him doing it with her words, but there's also, he took it and changed the words and performed it on the famous March from Selma to Montgomery with Martin Luther King. So he changed the words to work for the civil rights movement, the verses. Everybody's still saying, which side are you on? But the verses were changed for that. And there's all sorts of different, it's crazy. When I realized that much, I started looking it up. I found out that Annie DeFranco created her own verses in 2012, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
There's tons of amazing versions out there in all sorts of genres too. I highly recommend anybody who's listening to this, go to YouTube and type in Which Side Are You On? And you're going to find a plethora of different versions and arrangements that are just, a lot of them are just amazing. There was one, I kind of remember this rapper's name, and it was really powerful. I love what he did. Yeah, and it was about, I think it was mostly about Black Lives Matter, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But that's the thing, and that's why I use that saying, around the world we sing it whenever we need a plan, because it's been adopted so many times by so many different people. Pete Seeger just made it famous. He didn't write it. I thought he wrote it too until I started researching it, because everybody knows him as a singer.
And thanks for turning me on to that. I really did not know. I don't really sit down and explore every single aspect of a song, but it's just your words here made it clear to me that it wasn't written by Pete Seeger, and that's quite interesting. So, Ifrat, you've played with so many different people and your background. Now, do you have a master's in music?
I do.
Ah, wow.
In violin performance.
How did you, is that where you went to school? Where did you go to Grammar Elementary School and high school?
I went to Grammar through high school in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Okay.
And then I started an undergrad in music at Indiana University in Bloomington. I did actually 3.5 years. I was in a 5-year program because I was also doing a business certificate. But I basically did all but 3 classes for music in my last recital, and I had to stop playing violin for a few years because of an arm issue. I had broken my elbow.
Oh, God.
And bruised the nerve, and nobody could figure out. Everybody, we went to see specialist after specialist, and they just said, it's obvious you've got a bruised nerve, but we can't find it, and we don't recommend exploratory surgery, so your option is to give it a break. So I almost went to law school. Actually got into law school. Took the LSAT and everything, got into law school, and I had moved home while I was studying for the LSAT, so that I worked part-time at a law office as a, clerk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was partially clerk, partially helping everybody just all sorts of odd jobs, from running things like a clerk to office management, helping if the office manager wasn't around. And at the same time, when I moved home, my dad plays accordion. It's always been his big love. He was a nuclear physicist, but he's always played accordion too.
Really?
And he was in a klezmer band called the Tennessee Schmaltz. And their violinist, who was also a lawyer, had just moved to New York City. He said, all the pieces, you have to play with us. Because he had taught me all these pieces growing up, the Israeli songs. That he loved. Uh-huh. He'd be like, come, play. I'd come home from a classical lesson. He'd be like, okay, now I'm going to teach you something. He'll teach me Israeli songs. Okay. And I remember, it's actually a big joke now, because I was like, I'm never going to pick up the violin. That was the hardest thing to do in my life, to put it down. I don't want to do this. And my mom came downstairs. Don't you know how happy it makes your father when you play music with him? Do you want to not give him this love? And then my father comes out, don't you know how happy it makes your mother to hear him play together? I'm like, fine, I'll play in your stupid band.
That's funny.
And our second gig, yeah, I still laugh at it today, and they can't ever say anything about me being a musician now. It's all their fault. I thought. But I ended up, our second gig was a bar mitzvah. And the family was also a ardent supporter of the arts. And lo and behold, two guests at the bar mitzvah reception were the concertmaster of the Knoxville Symphony, who had been my teacher in high school, and the conductor. And they come up to me, they're like, you don't sound like somebody who hasn't been playing for a few weeks. Come by the offices. And the next thing I know, I was subbing with the Knoxville Symphony. And my violin teacher's like, no, you don't want to go to law school. Come do a master's in music.
Wow.
So that's
how you got a master's in music. That's amazing.
And I don't have an undergrad, which is funny.
Okay. It doesn't really matter. You know what? It's the skill and what you have. And you do have a master's in music without undergraduate school because of your skill. And it's like they award doctorates to people because of their knowledge, not necessarily because of courses they've taken.
Many of my teachers were honorary doctorate.
There you go.
Even at Indiana University, I don't believe that I'm almost 100% positive that none of my teachers there did a doctorate. They just won enough competition. We're known as soloists. So.
Let's go back to the album. Again, I am speaking with Efrat, and she has a new album out called We Just Need Love. And it's, let's see, how many songs are on there? There are two songs that are repeated. Right?
Yes.
Or is it, yeah. And one with drums and one without drums. But we'll talk about those. Let's talk about the song Meditation, which is the number 3 song on the album. And you say it's Allegro classic looped wonder?
If you listen to it, it sounds a lot like classical music. And I guess it would be somewhere, you could say there's some impressionism, that kind of classical music, as well as classical elements to it, as well as modern elements to it. It's a canon in the sense that it's the same formation or chords over and over. Basically, I based it on 6 notes. I started using a looper. At first, I started doing it so that I could add string parts behind me, because it was frustrating that I'm a string player who can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing, ooh, I can actually loop whole songs and make creations and be like a one-man band, and that's sort of fun. And so it's great because I can do that, or I can use it to create additions. I do shows with Nick Russo where I'm on the looper and I've got my cajones, I'm also adding drums, and he's got his foot percussion and his guitar. And it's just amazing to be able to add all these extra elements. So that's what it started. And then I would do an improv piece in each show where I would just create something. And this is actually where Meditation came from. It was a melody that just didn't go away from my head, unlike the other improv.
Now, for those who do not know what a looper is, explain to the folks.
Okay, so it's a pedal kind of thing, like you see guitarists with pedals, but it's a little more involved. Like each pedal has something they can do. They're basically all computers of some sort. If you want to think about it like that, they all process the music in one way or another. And a looper, what it does is it actually records a set amount of performance and then continues to play it back. You can control it, depending on the looper, you can tell it how many times, you can tell it how many measures. In my case, I use usually the RC300 by Boss, which allows me to have 3 separate tracks which I can choose to sync up or not sync up. A lot of times I can make one a free, what's called free rhythm, so it'll be a two-measure drum track over and over, and then the rest of it I'm looping a 8-measure or 16-measure song. Wow. And I can loop the strings, chordal accompaniment, plucked accompaniment, and then vocal parts, and then sing over the top of that.
Wow. that entire tune should be looped. So it could be playing over and over again. I could just picture sitting out on my back deck and looking at the beauty of nature and listening to that absolutely gorgeous tune. Again, this was Meditation. It comes from Efrat's new album, We Just Need Love. And by the way, Efrat's website is, it's efratmusic.com.
Yes.
EFRATMUSIC.com. And I always tell everybody, you don't need to say www anymore. So it's a waste of, what, 9 syllables? It's a waste of 9 syllables because all you have to do is put in the, you don't have to even put that in the URL. Just put in efratmusic.com and you will get to her website and you will, it's a very nice website, by the way, and you can pick up some videos there. There's some neat videos and all sorts of things about this incredible, do you call it a fiddle or a violin? Now, you used violin once, but many violin players call it fiddle.
It is the same thing, honestly. The violin is still the same thing. So the only difference is how you play it.
Yeah. And how you say
there can be differences. Some people who play fiddle tunes more might make a bridge that is a little flatter to enable it to be easier to play double stops and triple stops. While you wouldn't want that if you play other, if you're not always playing double stops. So like the old time musicians, if you look at their bridges, they tend to be a lot flatter. Mm-hmm. While the violinists, classical violinists, will be a lot more curved. But other than that, they also may look for slight different things in an instrument. Like a fiddler is not concerned with how loud the instrument is necessarily, because they're either playing it, especially today, because they're either playing it with a mic or a pickup or in a small situation or in an acoustic setting. Mm-hmm. And so it's more about the sweet sound or a sound that speaks to them, whether deep or sweet, which it has to do with the way that the belly is shaped. Huh. But yeah.
In any event, once again, I'm speaking with Efrat, and her new album is We Just Need Love. Now, you've actually been on Broadway, haven't you?
I've been in Broadway shows, not on Broadway, but I've been in touring Broadway shows. I did music for an off-Broadway play. So I've done that kind of stuff as well.
And you've played with many different bands. I know you've played with Spite and Dival, and you were on their Temptation album. And a lot of people that I know, like Reggie Harris and Joe Jenks and Pat Wichter, Mara Levine, Gathering Time, David Amram. There was a little story about him joining you at a NERFA conference in 2015.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Basically, I'm lucky. I have an amazing musician, so it wasn't just me. It was the band, my band. I had amazing musicians with me, Nick Russo, who has his own band now, the Scooches, I never say it right, I think, with his wife, Bettina. They're awesome people. And I also had in the band at the time, Marcus Milius on harmonica, Michael O'Brien on bass. It was a great band. And he heard us and really liked what we were doing and actually ended up coming to two of our Gorillaz sessions and sitting in with us and then inviting us to play at the 80th birthday celebration at the end of the, or was it 85th? I can't even remember. It was 80th because he's almost 90. Uh-huh. So, or he just turned 90. But yeah, so he invited us to play on his birthday party with him. So that was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also have had a couple of your songs featured in some movies, How to Seduce Difficult Women, and what else? The Silver Lining, the 2015 movie, and it included the folk, jazz, pop, klezmer, swing, and blues. And this was number 14 on the International Folk DJ chart for October of 2015. Let's get back to the album. There is next on the album the song Let Go. And we've talked about what you experienced with your son and all of the potential tragic moments that you went through. So give us an introduction to the song, Let Go.
This is my newest song, and I wrote it during the pandemic. I wrote it after he had finally recovered from his surgery, getting an SICD. And it was a wonderful moment knowing that he was going to be safe. And it was the moment I had been waiting for a couple of years. And during that time, I actually didn't really even attempt to set my own gigs because I had enough trouble when I had to call, which is the worst feeling in the world when you have to call someone and say, I can't be at your gig tonight. I'm sorry, but my kid's in the hospital. And you don't want to miss the gig, but obviously you have to be somewhere else. But you don't want that. It's not something that you were enjoying doing. It's something that you don't want any of that to happen. No. It sucks for the people you're calling too, and it's really hard. And I want to say thank you to those who still call me, because a lot of people stop calling me because of things like that. And I understand them. You don't want to have somebody who's, you don't know if they're going to be there or not. So it was really hard. And I was like, finally, he's going to get his, I was getting ready to start doing bookings and everything. And then
bam,
the pandemic. And because of his disorder, I didn't start really taking gigs until June. And then with Delta, it's created a whole new issue. So now whenever I do gigs, because you can pass it on, he goes to my parents. My parents are amazing. I when we realized what was going on about a little over a month ago, I said, Mom, I canceled the gig. She said, yeah, you've done that enough in the last few years. Mm. I used to spend a month at my grandparents. Your kid can spend a month here. Uh-huh. So I actually just picked up my kid a couple days ago. He was at my parents for over a month.
Uh-huh.
I went to see them a few times. There was when I had a seven-day break, I waited 5 days, took a test, waited 24 hours for the results. When I was okay, spend the day with them, and then had to come back and go to more gigs. So I saw him once for a half a day, and then twice for 20 minutes spaced and distanced and masked. And that was it in the month, other than on FaceTime every day, like 20 times. But no, not that much. Some days, not at all. It really made me appreciate the doctors and the emergency room and COVID doctors, who some separated from their families for months on end. I had to do this I'm doing this part of the month for a few months. They did this for months and months and put their lives at risk. So I just want to say thank you to all of them. Mm. Anyone who's listening, thank you, thank you. And thank you for what you do today, because you don't deserve what you're dealing with.
Hard to hand over preconceived notions. Memories linger, forcing my hand. It's hard to recover from the sadness. Can't help to see through dark shadowed glasses. Does everything in sight becomes part of our light, and visions can transform in just one night. So hard as shadow what my heart says, climbing a ladder with always one rung to go. But I'll keep trying, no, I won't falter. There's only one way to reap and sow. 'Cause everything inside becomes part of our light, and visions can transform in just one night. So let go of all you know. Let go. I may continue to do myself in, but I'll try to stop the path. I must believe that it's not written. Is that a world I can finally grasp? 'Cause everything in sight becomes part of our light, and visions can transform in just one. things I've put on hold, trying to fit them all.
From her new album, We Just Need Love, that was Efrat with Let Go. What an incredible, powerful song that is. And your voice, as I said, your voice sounds so much more powerful for some reason, and it's so good to hear. What a great album. And are you doing any gigs out, playing out anywhere that people should know about, or is it just mostly online kinds of things?
Right now, I am doing some gigs, but it's mostly I'm playing. There's a country band I play with, and some wedding gigs that I'm doing. But I'm actually not, because of everything that's going on.
Right,
until
yeah.
my kid can get fully vaccinated,
absolutely.
I'm not really doing.
You can't take chances. No, absolutely not.
Exactly, and so I won't sing indoors because I won't unmask. If I have to go indoor for a wedding ceremony, I won't unmask right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing shows for my music, but I am doing a big online event on October 27th.
Okay.
If you go to my website, right on the first page, there is a link that you can go to. So if you go to frautmusic.com, there's a link on the first page to go to find out more about it. And it's going to be, I'm going to do 3 songs right there with my looper online. Well, 2 with my looper and 1 just sitting at the piano. And then I'm also going to do this song as a half live performance, in the sense that the other musicians are going to record their parts ahead of time. I'm going to create a video, which is going to be my green screen in a way. So they'll be performing around me videoed, and I'm going to be performing live over that. And I will be introducing the last of 5 videos. So I'm actually making a music video for each of the songs on the album. If you go to youtube.com/EfratMusic, you can already see Which Side Are You On, which I premiered on August 20th because mm-hmm. it was a Labor Day song and I wanted it to be out there. So there's already a video for that one. And actually this coming Friday, I'll be releasing the video for Meditation. And on October 27th, I'll be releasing the last video of We Just Need Love, which is actually going to feature lots of people all over because it's about standing up for love.
Ah, that is so great. So, I'm looking forward to that. And those videos are going to be on your website. You'll be able to get to them?
You can get to them from my website, or the best thing to do is go to my YouTube. If you subscribe, if you go to youtube.com/EfratMusic, there's a big red button that says subscribe. If you subscribe, then you will get notifications as my videos come out.
I'm going to have to do that. But right now, I'm going to play one that isn't on this album. It's something that you recorded as a single and and released it. And I think this is just fantastic. And for all of those Game of Thrones fans out there, this is Efrat with Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, we ran out of time for this particular podcast. I urge you to run out and get Efrat's albums if you want to hear more of this album and others like it. Go on out and check out her website. I want to thank Efrat for joining me today, and I want to thank you for listening, and hope that you continue to listen. This is Audie Martello, hoping you have a fantastic day, and I'll see you back here next time on Mostly Folk.